We're going to switch gears and bring things a bit more local here. Joining me now on the phone is Greg Murphy. He's the regional school superintendent for Kankakee in Iroquois Counties. Greg, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, happy to be here. Thank you, Rick.
I wanted to have you on because so much has been made about the issue of the new school aid funding formula, the fact that the legislature is pumping in and is pretty much obligated to pump in $350 million in new money each year, the effort to finally direct money to the schools that need it most, all of this being hailed as very historic, and it is, and I don't mean to take away from that. But it's also, you know, the devil's in the details, and you're on this new committee as part of this legislation to make sure that we're doing things right with evidence-based funding. What actually is that?
I think if we distill it down to its simplest terms, it causes us to look at education funding in Illinois not as how much money is there to spend on education, but instead causes us to focus on what research tells us it costs to educate young people in today's economy, and it changes the conversation.
So is it a reprioritization, or is it this works and devote stuff here, this doesn't work, we shouldn't be doing so much over here?
Let me give you an example. Class size, I think, is an easy component for us to talk about. And intuitively, I think that most people believe that smaller class sizes would be better for students to learn. Well, if you run that argument to the nth degree, then we would expect to see one-to-one ratios, one teacher per one student, and quickly realize that's not doable in a state. So you can either walk away, but instead, the evidence-based model looks at educational research nationwide, and it takes a look at questions like class size. And when you look at the research and student achievement, one of the pieces that comes out of this is that if we're in a kindergarten through third grade classroom, an optimal size is one teacher to 20 students. Whereas when we go to a fourth to a 12th grade classroom, one teacher to 25 students is that optimal size, and that those ratios really point out when you start to no longer see the increases in student achievement by decreasing class size. So it takes us away from intuition and puts us into research.
Well, just for example, with class size too, does it depend on what the actual area of academic study is with class size?
It's the research really doesn't pull it out by subject area as much as by age level. And just looking at the very young students, that's where you really see an increase in student achievement when you bring those class sizes down, but you don't have to bring them down to such small levels.
Right.
The other piece that's important is that if you're looking at students that have risk factors, such as low-income students, that they actually factor into this system, that those class sizes would be, again, smaller. So kindergarten, third grade, with low-income students, that target would move to 1 to 15, and it just gives you that added time per child so that you can bring those students up and impact student achievement.
We're speaking with Greg Murphy. He's the regional school superintendent for Kankakee and Iroquois counties, also a member of a panel looking at the implementation of the state's new school aid funding formula as it affects to evidence-based research in education. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We're speaking with Greg Murphy, regional school superintendent in Kankakee and Iroquois counties. He's part of a 27-member panel reviewing the evidence-based funding model that's going to be part of this increased school funding, as well as the revision of the state school aid formula. And, Greg, we've got a call from Sally. Sally, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Hi, good morning. Look, I'm a substitute in Chicago Public Schools, and I wonder if your committee is looking at the effect that putting learning disabled students in the same classroom as learning able students. And I'm finding that trying to mainstream those students just seems to be not quite right. And because there's a lot of disruption in classrooms, you know, a lot of activities, and these students, when they're in the classroom, they're isolated, or they try to isolate them from the other students. But shouldn't they be in their own classroom, and what effect that has on the learning of other students?
All right, Sally, thank you so much for your call. Greg, I'm not sure if it's part of if special needs students are also part of this evidence-based studying that's going on.
So not directly something that the professional review panel is looking at, but always when we're talking about students with special needs, we're focusing on that least restrictive environment for those students. And it is a management question in the classroom. But I always like to point out that many times it's not just the special needs student that is benefiting from those included situations, because the amount of empathy and service that our regular education students can experience in those settings, I think, really help us from a societal standpoint. So, but Rick, yeah, it's a little bit outside of the professional review panel's purview.
More of what you're saying is more of the more broadened educational experience for all students, including the special needs student.
Absolutely, because we know that when our students become citizens, we want them to be compassionate young adults that can understand the needs of everyone around them.
Now, I know that you're also part of a subcommittee on the Regional Safe Schools Program.
Yes.
Could you explain what that is?
So regional safe schools are programs for students that either have multiple suspensions or are expulsion eligible. So there's a subset of students in Illinois that have had issues in their home school, and we work to educate those students. Our goal really is to get those students to graduation, address their unique needs, and prepare them to be those productive citizens. But also, while they're with us in our programs, we're working to transition them back to their home school so that they can be back with their cohort of students.
How does that work? How does that transitioning work? Is it by dealing with the unique nature of whatever issues the student has and trying to work through those issues and then put them back into a mainstream education?
So the students will come to a regional safe school program for a variety of reasons that would make them eligible for our program. So when our staff are interacting with the students, they're addressing the particular actions that caused that student to come to a regional safe school. And by having those conversations, as well as having smaller academic settings with those students, what we're working to do is, one, to keep them on track for graduation so that we don't have an increased frustration from those students when they do return to their home school, but also to work through whatever the issue was. So the staff is really working two parallel lanes, one on the social-emotional needs of the child, but secondly on the academics to keep them on track for graduation.
So as far as the evidence-based task force, this would seem to be just kind of an ongoing thing, because the research is always going to be updated, right?
Correct.
So I'm still...
And if we're talking about the professional review panel,
right.
The legislators, I believe, were able to see that was going to be the situation. So the professional review panel was actually a concept that was embedded within the legislation to be certain that there were educators and educational leaders that were looking at the funding system and making recommendations to the legislature for any changes or modifications that would improve the system for all students.
Are you satisfied with how this turned out as far as the rewrite of the school aid formula as far as schools in your area?
I think it's a very good first step. The piece that we need to keep in mind is that it is a funding system, and we're implementing a new system. And yes, it's much nicer to look at student needs versus budgetary constraints. So to base it on student needs is a definite improvement. But the other is to remember that to fully fund this model in Illinois, the State Board of Education this year proposed a $13.8 billion budget just for this line item, and the legislature was able to fund $6.8 billion. So that means we're less than 50% to full implementation of this new model. So while, yes, the model is very good to allow us to understand the costs associated with educating, there's a lot of work to be done to fully fund the model.
And, of course, that's always been the issue, is what is available. And obviously, we have this commitment from everybody that supported this of $350 million new dollars each year for the decade. But
yes,
that's not carved in stone, and we know what budgeting is like here in the state of Illinois.
Correct. And I think it really changes. We need to continue to focus on education, not just for the next 10 years, but for the next 20 years to fully implement this system within the state. And that is absolutely difficult to keep everyone's attention on one initiative for that long of a time.
Unless we get into the larger discussion about state source funding and local funding, and whether the overdependence of school funding on the property taxes, trying to find that fine line of local control and alleviating the burden on property taxes, which has been the discussion in this state for decades.
Yes. Well, and you know, as well as any, the local control is so tightly held, which is how we got to a point with property tax. I think the difference is that property value no longer is a accurate measure of wealth in the state of Illinois. Our economy has changed, and we're more of a service economy at this point. And so a system dependent on property taxes disproportionately is going to advantage those districts that are property wealthy.
It's like one of those puzzle pieces. You move one piece and the other piece falls over here. It's a very complicated system, that's for sure. Greg Murphy, Regional School Superintendent for Kankakee and Iroquois County, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the show that you're putting on here. So have a good day.
Thank you so much.